Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We've all heard the call, let's take America back. Some would have us make political salvation our prime religious objective. Today, avoiding the temptation to put the cross and the flag on the same level. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series, Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't, Dr. Lutzer is making a clear distinction between the cross and the flag. Today, he bursts what for many is a big bubble.
Is America a Christian country? No, America never was a Christian country, never will be a Christian country. There are only countries that are influenced by Christianity, and certainly America was, in varying degrees. But if you study its history, and you know that even evangelicals discuss this and disagree on it, it was never specifically Christian. Religious, yes, not necessarily specifically Christian. Though, of course, Christians were involved in government. What I'd like to do for the next few moments is delineate for you now the cross and the flag, three different relationships that can exist between these two emblems. First of all, we can think of the flag above the cross, the flag above the cross. And that, of course, happens whenever you get people who are so committed to their country that they forget about their commitment to God. My country, right or wrong. And so there is this blindness to the cross because they are so committed to whatever their country does. I need to tell you that throughout history, Christians have always been tempted to render unto Caesar that which belongs only to God. You've heard the story of my presence in that Berlin museum, and I saw pictures of the cross of Christ in the middle of a swastika. You have all these swastikas with a cross embedded in it. And that's how come I decided to write the book Hitler's Cross. I stood there and I said, how could this happen? How nationalistic did the German church get? And we can see it clearly in Germany, but I need to say very kindly that sometimes we're blind to it in our own lives because we say, well, they were, of course, living under an evil, wicked dictator, and that's different. Yes, it's different, but the temptation is always there, even in America. In order to help you to understand what it is that I mean, I want to give you some illustrations. This is why we tend to lump together a number of different things. For example, we'll take the issue of abortion, which is really a biblical issue to be sure, because it has to do with human life and the destruction of unborn human life. But we tend to lump it together so that suddenly it becomes part of a larger agenda. It becomes part of a balanced budget amendment. We say that that's a part of our agenda. And the whole idea of support for the National Rifle Association and term limits for congressmen and on the list goes. And we say all of this is a part of the Christian agenda. Is it? You know, it's this kind of confusion that led Jerry Falwell in 1985, I believe it was the middle 80s, to go to South Africa and take the side of apartheid in South Africa. How did that get into this Christian agenda? The reason that I feel so deeply about this is because during that period of time, I was in Toronto and I caught a cab. And like I always do, I tried to witness to the cab driver and he kept throwing this into my face. And I kept saying, I know that that's not Christian. Let's forget about what happened there. And he kept coming and he's saying, but he's a Christian minister. He's a Christian minister. And on. And I could not witness to him about Christ. This was a thorn that lodged in his throat. How was that Christian? That's what happens. Let me tell you another thing that sometimes happens, folks, and we're just talking here among ourselves, aren't we? You're still with me on the hike? You think I've bypassed some mines, or have I just barely missed one? Stick with me. Tendency to confuse our values. We, as those of us who live in America, we love the American way of life. Frankly, it's a great way to live. Just look at Christmas. Look at Christmas. I don't know how it is in your house, but In my house at Christmas time, our living room looks as if there was an explosion in a department store. That's the way it looks. And we love it. That's the American way of life. But I need to ask you something today. Is that really the same as the Christian way of life? Is that distinctively Christian? 3 years ago, next month, I was in Belarus, where I met with those pastors, the story that I told you about, 300 of them. I said to Viktor Kruko, as we were riding together in the car, I said, what do the people buy here for Christmas? Where do they go Christmas shopping? And have you ever asked somebody a question and he looks at you as if to say, how could you be so stupid as to have asked that? It's one of those, ay, 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 you'll never learn, will ya, kind of responses. He said, there is no Christmas shopping. There is nothing in the stores. There are no gifts, nothing. We may sing a few hymns, but that's it. Is that non-Christian? Are we more Christian than our beloved brothers and sisters in Belarus? You see how easy it is to get all these kingdoms confused. There are some people to whom the national debt, high taxes, strong national defense, rollbacking of government regulations means as much to them, and they are as committed to that as they are to the evangelism of their neighbors who are going to die without knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. It's easy to confuse the values of the two kingdoms. It's easy. I'm convinced that there are many angry Christians today who would get over their anger and they'd be very pacifistic and easy to live with if all that we could do is to crank the clock back to the good old 1950s. Some of you remember those good old 1950s when we didn't have drugs and we didn't have this. Now, and they'd be happy even if in the process of cranking back the clock, nobody was saved. It's just that we got back to the good old times when we didn't have these. Some people would be content if America accepted Jesus as this teacher of America, even if they didn't accept him as the Savior. They'd be glad, just give me those good old times again. Many people are not concerned about the fact that there are some artists who are going to be lost forever. Doesn't concern them. Doesn't concern them if they do pornographic art. That's just the American way. I mean, after all, that's what freedom is all about. But if you really want to get them angry, if you really want their blood pressure to zoom off the chart, tell them that there are some people who are doing pornographic art using taxpayers' money. Now that's something that will get you good and mad. Not that the artist is doing it and is going to be lost forever and actually is an affront to Jesus Christ because of all this impurity. That's one thing, but he can do it. That doesn't bother me, but he used my money to do it. Oh, now we finally touched the sore spot that will get some bucks to fight. Are you folks still with me on the hike? Some of you are very quiet, and I'm wondering if you've put your backpack down. Let's keep going. Another problem that happens as a result is, of course, that our hope then becomes political. And I'm going to be balancing this in a moment. Of course we should be involved, but the kingdom of God ultimately is not Washington and City Hall. There's something else that is going on God's agenda that is much more important. That's the flag above the cross, nationalism. And sometimes, folks, we simply don't see it. Let me give you a second way that they can be configured, and that is the flag and the cross. Take your Bibles and turn now to the book of 1 Peter. And you know I could have used many, many passages in the New Testament to preach this part. So many, in fact, that I was actually thinking of preaching another passage. And then yesterday I decided, no, I'm going to stick with 1 Peter chapter 2. Why are there so many passages in the New Testament that I could have preached this from? It's because most of the letters that were written in the New Testament were written to churches that were islands of righteousness in a sea of paganism. And the reason that they were written is to help Christians to know how to live in the midst of a pagan, godless society. And that's why chapter after chapter and book after book is devoted to the topic. Notice how we are to live if we are committed both to God and to country, rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. He says in verse 9, but you, 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen race, elect by God from before the foundation of the world, a royal priesthood. The priests in the Old Testament could go into the Day of Atonement only under specific regulations. We today live there in the Holy of Holies. We live in the Holy of Holies. Christ has brought us in. We are a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim, and this now gives us the reason why we're here. What are we supposed to be doing? People ask. Well, let's hear. That you might proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That, my friend, is the basic fundamental agenda of the church in all generations, regardless of the kind of regime under which they live. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. Recently, I was in the city of Rome and had the privilege of visiting the Mamertine Prison. This prison is found in what is known as the Roman Forum, the place where ancient Rome had all of its headquarters. As a matter of fact, a few hundred yards away from the prison is indeed the Roman Senate. That's where Nero would have met with his advisors. Of course, the building has been rebuilt since those times. But it is in that prison, almost certainly, that the Apostle Paul was put. And you remember from that prison, he wrote the book of Philippians. It's a marvelous book. And in this book, the Apostle Paul pours out his heart to the church. Now let's get the context. Paul had no representation in the Roman Senate. There was no one in the Roman government that was looking out for the interest of Christians. And yet it is from that prison that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people that he hoped that they would stand firm for the truth of the gospel. And also he said, unto you it has been given to suffer for the name of Christ. Let me simply say this. I believe that very dark days are coming to America. There are things that are happening in Washington that are truly frightening. You realize, of course, that many people in our government believe that we as Christians are the enemy that needs to be silenced. I could go into that in detail. So the time may come when indeed we have to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. But my response is, let us make sure that we suffer well. Of course, we can be involved in government trying to help influence proper legislation. I'm so glad for those who have court cases that defend our freedoms. But at the end of the day, we as Christians have to recognize that darkness seems to be settling upon the land. And the best thing that we can do is indeed to be involved in our ministries to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the weapon. That, my friend, is the power of God unto salvation.
Erwin Lutzer with part two of The Cross and the Flag, the second of eight messages in a series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Next time, the dangers of mixing the cross and the flag. In the complex area of faith and politics, we need some clear teaching. This eight-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.